from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. Joining us here at the Michigan Talk Network, I want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns. Their Wednesday night auctions are of legendary proportion. If you're looking for a firearm, maybe an accessory, maybe an everyday carry combination, check them out, notjustguns.com. And I know my friend Dave Hodges, our sales guy extraordinaire, who's also working with Not Just Guns, is putting some things together, you know, some cool everyday carry, like out the front knives and things like that, that you, you know, you may want to consider for your personal use, which like I do every day. Also want to thank our friends at Conquest Sense out of Davison, Michigan, makers of Evercalm and VS1, and of course the United Deer Farmers of Michigan as well. The truth about CWD.com, all of those links on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. I'm going to speak with Lance Valentine to kick off this hour from Teachin' Fishin'. And he's been teaching fishing for quite a while, and Saginaw Bay is where you can find his pontoon. I believe it's a pontoon, correct, Lance?
Yeah, the Anchor Quest pontoon is up on Saginaw Bay off summer, absolutely.
Now, it's been, we talked about, you know, a late start. We talked with David A. Rose earlier in the show about the late start and the virtual iCast and things of that nature. But there is no virtual, you know, charters right now. We are actually finally able to do what all those cool kids at the marijuana shops have been doing. It's work. And look, I know I'm belaboring a point, okay? And I know there's people that actually, you know what, it's beneficial for them. But so is fishing. Fishing is essential in the world of many things, of food, in the realm of your just overall sanity and the relaxation and work. So why were we not essential in the beginning? Again?
Yeah, well, that's a conversation we could have off camera, or off mic, I'm sure. But, you know, it's funny. You know, I've been doing, like you said, I've been doing seminars for almost 25 years. And next year will be our 25th year, that on the, you know, anniversary. We're doing our first seminar at the old Pontiac Silverdome. And, you know, I've met thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of anglers from all over the country, from, you know, guys who've never had a rod in their hand to guys who fish tournaments. And I've had a lot of those people on the boat. And what the beauty of fishing is it, you know, it means something different to everybody. And you can enjoy, fishing is one of the few sports that you can enjoy regardless of your gender, regardless of your financial ability, regardless of your, how good a shape you're in, right? You don't have to run fast, jump high. You don't have to be tall. You don't have to be, you know, fishing. Anybody can enjoy fishing. Everybody enjoys fishing at a different level. Everybody enjoys fishing for a different thing. So I'll get people on my charters who, you know, the other day I had a friend of mine who brings his four buddies down to Detroit fishing. And this year he had his, because of the COVID, he has his daughter and son-in-law are both in the military in Florida, and they have two boys. And they were getting ready to, they were actually getting ready to relocate. So he sent the boys up to spend the summer with Grandpa. So Grandpa and Grandma brought them over on the pontoon. They were 7 and 10. You know, they both got their first walleye. We were teaching them about how to set planer boards. About the one kid, you know, the 10-year-old drive a little bit. You know, we caught, I don't know, 18, 15, 16, 17 fish, whatever it was. And that was a great time, right? And I got guys on my boat who go, hey, look, I want to be on the boat today. I want to learn how to run lead core. I got guys on my boat who go, all I want to do today is I want to learn how to read the sonar and how to get better at, you know, understand what the sonar shows. And I got guys on the boat who bring customers and go, hey, just show my guys a good time. Just let's just get everybody laughing. Let's send some fish home. So I get to see the whole gamut of what happens. So that's the beauty of fishing. And I think when everything kind of went down the way it went down in March, I think when you take away that, when you take away people's ability to enjoy themselves, if you take away people's ability to have something to look forward to, if you take away people's ability to mentally and sometimes even physically recharge, I think you set yourself up for a situation where people aren't healthy mentally. And I think when I talked to, I had a chance to talk to some of the people at MUCC about, you know, the fishing ban and some of the things. And, you know, I was one of the one guys that I was one of the first guys to cancel because of information I had. And I was one of the first guys to reach out and say, look, we've got to do something about this. We have to get, you know, we have to kind of organize the troops here and get rolling. And it was all, it had nothing to do with my business, right? It really had nothing to do with obviously, the important part, but it had to do with the people that I know who come on my charters and what being on the boat means. So be it my boat or anybody else's boat or their own boat, it doesn't really matter. Fishing is such an important part of our springtime here in Michigan, March, April, May, June, July, whatever it's going to be. It really hurt my heart that we lost that because it was tough. And I hope people realize now, you know, one of the things I told the guys, we tried to stay active every day on teaching fishing through what we teaching fishing coffee hour. We tried to do an hour every day. And what I told people was, what I want you to do is I want you to do this. I want you to write down the five things that you are missing the most during this epidemic, right? March, April, May, we were kind of locked up. And so write down the five things that you miss the most right now. What are the five things that if you could go tomorrow with no restrictions and just go do, what are the first five things you would go do? I said, number one, I'm going to promise you that going to work isn't one of them.
Right.
Not that we don't need to go to work and not that we don't need to write. I said, I'm going to promise you that those five things you write down aren't going to be work or work-related. I told you, you know, these five things are things that when this is over, you need to concentrate on. Mm-hmm. We still have to work. We still have to make a living. We still have to take care of our families. I get all that. But figure out what those five things are and make sure that when this is over, that you make those five things your priority. You fit your work life into these five things that are important to you as opposed to trying to fit these five things that are so important to you into your work life. And it was really funny to hear how many people really thought about it and said, you know what? I can't believe how important fishing is to me. Not catching fish, but how important just being on the boat and being a chance to go fishing actually is. So I think we realized how important fishing was to our life, to our mental health, and just to our social life, being able to share time on a boat with people. And I'm lucky because I get to do it almost every day with all kinds of different people. But, man, what a great thing to say about our sport. And I hope what it does is it gets guys more excited about going fishing more often. What I really hope it does is it gets people more excited about taking other people fishing and showing them how much fishing really is.
Speaking with Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing here on Wild Michigan on the Conquest Sense hotline. You don't know how important something is until it's taken away, literally taken away from us, you know, and the fishing. It was one of them because, look, when this all happened, you know, this is one of those things we look forward to with the Detroit River walleye run or, you know, the early part of Lake Erie at this point. And we get told that we, you know, this is, again, 3 months later, but at that time that no, you can't take your boat out because it's a risk. Now, look, I've seen guys raft up on the Detroit River. To a degree, I get that.
Right.
You know what I mean? When they're all boat to boat, where you could walk across this thing like you're at the sandbar, a whole nother issue. But it really kind of set me off to see certain things open. And when we talked to David earlier today about, you know, Traverse City, why Traverse City is a big, big place. I mean, as far as the amount of people, how did that one get so lucky? You know,
right.
So we're going to talk more about this here in a couple of seconds. We're speaking with Lance Valentine for Teaching Fishing. We're going to find out how the bite has been on the Saginaw Bay with this hot weather we've had. And we're going to find out where things are going coming up here late summer, early fall on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors. Thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Happy to be here with you as we're going into entering our 15th year of this show. 15 minutes is about what I thought we would last. But there is so much to learn, so much to do, so many, and you know what? And we could talk to the same people day and day. And it wouldn't matter because the conversation would be different. And we want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns, at Conquest Sense, at United Deer Farmers of Michigan, Dave Wheeler from Lucky Buck, who joined us this morning, David A. Rose, who joined us this morning, Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing right now. And there's a link to Lance's website on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Lance and I were talking just, you know, a second ago about, hey, did you want to do that first part over again? I'm like, no, absolutely not, because this is not the fish are biting in 30 feet of water on, you know, Wonder Bread and this speed. Look, that's great information if you're doing a live show that day, okay? It doesn't happen when we record in the middle of the week and it airs on the weekend, or somebody picks it up on the podcast. It's great information for any other show, but not this one. Okay, we have never done that with this show, and I think it's kind of unnatural and uncomfortable for me to do things that way. That said, we still want to catch up with Lance because he is on the water in Saginaw Bay and has been for a while, and this is where pretty much he makes his summer throughout the course of the year. Is the bay, and of course your Angler Quest pontoon boat that you're on, which, you know, when you told me pontoon at the first, I was really kind of shocked, but it's been doing great. And how has the bay been? Again, I don't need speeds. I don't need water temps. Because that's crap. You know what? Guys like me, you're going to lose 3 seconds into it.
The bay has been, the word I've used to describe it over and over again is weird. Guys will always ask, you know, is the fishing better? How's the fishing? I'm like, look, it usually depends on the day. Because the bay, like any big body of water, is definitely affected by wind, right? Wind and wave and current and where stuff gets blown. But, now I talk to guys, literally, it depends on the trip. I mean, we may go out in the morning and absolutely flat out roast them and go back in the afternoon and catch three, or have a good afternoon trip and come back the next morning and catch, you know, five. It's been weird. We can't really get a pattern together. Fish aren't staying in the same places. They're moving quite a bit. One day we may catch fish in, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 feet of water. The next day we may have to go up to 26 to catch fish. We have a lot of floating weeds, which really kind of mess up the deal. Cause we try to run 14, 15 rods, and when you're running that much stuff, and next thing you know, you get a crankbait that gets a piece of weed on it, you don't know it, and that lure comes to the surface and slides over top of another one. Next thing you know, you got three lures all in a tangle, or you've got to run less lures and constantly keep bringing them in and check them. I mean, literally every 5 minutes, you just reel everything in and recheck, reset. Well, that's inefficient. So it's been tough. The last week has really been tough. A friend of mine was up at north of Pin County Bar, where I usually fish this time. I haven't been up there this year, and he called and said, hey, he says, we're on them up here. We went up there. We had a couple good days, and then all of a sudden the wind blew right, and bloop, all the floating weeds came in, and there's a lot of fish here. You can see them on the sonar. You just can't get a lure to them. You literally, by the time you've got all, 10 rods in the water, you've got eight that have weeds on them, and they're not fishing. So it's just, you can't fish it. So it's been a weird year. There's a lot of fish there. There's a lot of good fish. We're catching a lot of fish 18 to 20 inches. Every once in a while, we'll get a 24, 25, 26 incher, enough to say that there are still some big fish in the bay. We've caught some big perch trolling. I mean, perch up to 12 and a half, 13 inches. Trolling some big pike this year. But the fishing has just been weird. You have to move. You have to pull into a spot, mark fish, and see if you can fish them. And then if you can't, you have to move. Now, That's one of the issues, though, with the wind. You know, when you go to a spot and you fish in your next spot, and that doesn't work, and your next spot is 6, 7, 8 miles away, and it's blowing 20 miles an hour, it's hard to get to that next spot. It's hard to continue, you know, to move. You just don't have the time and that kind of wind to go places. And it's been tough. We actually canceled today. We knew the weather was going to be bad, but the fishing was really bad. Yesterday, I'm talking to you on, what day is it today?
Today's Wednesday, the day we record.
So, you know, Tuesday was a tough day. So I called my guys today and said, look, hey, we are, you know, the weather is kind of on the edge. The weather is kind of iffy. And the fishing stinks. So, you know, I left it up to them, and they all said, no, let's do something different. Let's go somewhere else. So it's just a tough fishing right now. I would tell the guys, if you have a choice right now, I would tell you that Lake Erie continues to be on fire, especially on the Ohio side, and continues to be probably your best bet to go fishing right now. Not that Saginaw is bad. It's just tough right now. The wind has created lots of issues, and the wind has created just all kinds of situations with floating weeds, and it's just tough to fish right now.
Lance Valentine from Teach and Fishing joining us here on the Conquest Sense Hotline. Lance, you know, the bay is not exactly the deepest body of water that we fish throughout the course of the year, and you say you've got wind. How is that affecting the water clarity? Because there's a lot of turnover underneath at that point, not to mention the weeds, like you said.
Yeah, great question. You have to definitely play that water clarity. We haven't got to the point where it's ever been too bad. You know, we've been able to fish anywhere in the bay we need to fish. But it has definitely been something you have to play, and you have to watch it. We have definitely played with you know colors. You know, I'm not a big color person, right? But
right.
Color has been a big deal. There are times that you know, bright colors because the water has a little bit of stain to it. Clear colors, you know, shiny colors because the water is a little bit cleaner. We're dealing with a lot of algae. We were out the other day, and I don't know what the stuff is. I call it green snot. It's just this snotty stuff, and I mean, it was literally, you know, 6 inches, you know, a 6-inch glop of it above your lure. Just this green snot, which I'm assuming is algae.
You're hoping.
So every once in a while, you know, every 10 minutes, you have to bring your lures in, squeeze that dry, and then snap it off and start over. So we're getting a lot of algae. We have a lot of color. We have not a lot of dirty water, Duran, but a lot of color in the water and a lot of stuff in the water this year. There's a lot of algae. There's a lot of we had those spiny water fleas earlier in the year to get all over your line. Now we've got this green algae snot. It's just been, you know, the fishing's been good. What stinks is the fishing's been good. It's just getting to the point where you just can't get lures in the water. It's just way too hard to fish. And so we've had to move. So we've had to fish maybe in places that weren't the best places to fish because it actually allowed us to fish, if that makes sense, right? We're actually able to keep lures in the water. So it's definitely been a challenge. You know, we're hanging in there. We're catching fish.
All right. Lance Valentine, appreciate you joining us. TeachingFishing.com. Find the link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at WildMichiganRadio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time. In a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to our good friends Lance Valentine for joining us. Dave Wheeler from Lucky Buck. Also, David A. Rose kicked off the show in the first hour of things, talking about the virtual iCast show that I don't know, man. I've got nothing but emails, and I unless I can put my hands on it, I don't know. It doesn't do much for me when it comes to looking at new products and the like. But if you want to check that out, you can pick up our podcast on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Click on the links to our friends at Not Just Guns, also Conquest Sense, and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. all great sponsors here of the show. And you probably find a link to my buddy Joel Pytek from Fishheads Charters, Captain Joel, Harsons Island, Michigan, joining us on the show right now. Joel, buddy, how are you?
Good, Duran. Thanks for having me here this morning.
Absolutely, man. Always good to have you on the show. And to clarify how Joel and I met, we used to do this thing called the Sportsman's Triathlon at the Hiawatha Sportsman's Club up in the UP, which is one of a beautiful facility. We would do trap shooting, golf, and archery. Joel was on an opposing team. We got to be good friends, and now he's doing Fishheads Charters out of Harsons Island. And normally you do like muskie and walleye, and you do some other stuff throughout the course of the year. But let's focus on the muskie right now, because that area, I mean, look, man, there are some big fish in St. Clair, some big muskie, some 60-inch fish in there. How has, I mean, look, man, we've talked about this this pandemic thing, how the charters have been affected so, you know, so heavily. And first and foremost, let's talk about the American side, since that's the only side we can fish right now because of Canada's boycott on us crossing over the border.
Sure. You know, it's a challenging time, right? All across the board, I don't care what industry, and for all of walks of life. And, you know, as it relates to us here in this world-class fishery of Lake St. Clair, it's caused a tremendous impact on it. Not only from the standpoint of, you know, the shutdown for the state and all of that and social distancing, when, you know, we always have to take that into account when we're as a charter captain, right? You know, and you have to take those things into consideration for the safety of your clients, no doubt, and including yourself. But, you know, so faced with those challenges that everybody is faced with today, you still got to be dynamic and, you know, you still got a business to run, right? In this particular case with us for the Michigan waters, which we're exclusively kept to nowadays, obviously on Lake St. Clair you share a border, and the Canadian side of Lake St. Clair has a tremendous amount of area, adversity in topography of the bottom. It also offers a lot of variety of fishing habitats, if you will, for multiple species. One of the most sought-after game fish that people come from all over the country here, and probably the world in some cases. I did have somebody in Germany, from Germany, that came here to muskie fish on Lake St. Clair. World-class fishery. By far the most muskies per square mile on the lake. Well, unfortunately, at this time of the year, predominantly we're fishing on the Canadian side because of the vast square miles of water that we can cover. We also have that adversity of topography that allows different fishing environments to focus on. So if one part of that lake is bad, well, you know what? You can run another 6 miles and get to another part that's going to be a more productive bite. Completely shut down for us right now, Duran. To add to that, not to say that Michigan waters are totally unfishable and you can't catch a muskie on our side of the lake, because you certainly can. However, as Michigan boaters know, we have, you know, if not the largest, one of the largest per boat ownership in the whole United States, right? So, God forbid, you know, on a weekend you try to run a muskie trip there, you'll get run over by the recreational boaters that have to share the lake too. Not only that, just a little small detail to add to that is here we have a very shallow side of the lake, whereas the Canadian side is much deeper. So when we have that shallow water predominantly throughout the whole lake, especially in the flats, the St. Clair Flats, incidentally, is one of the largest freshwater, if not the largest freshwater delta in all the world. It's relatively shallow, so that causes a lot of weed growth. And when that weed growth gets chopped up or torn up, boating, storms, and so forth, it floats on the water surface, so it makes it virtually impossible to troll for muskies, which is one of the most productive ways. So we're forced to be a little bit more dynamic, chase after them off of the, you know, off of the river systems that we have on the Michigan side, casting or jigging for them, or, you know, pick your days and try to pick out a sweet spot where there's no surface weeds floating, and then get out there and troll for them. But I can tell you what, it's a very challenging time as a muskie charter captain. And I've been fishing that lake since I've been 8 years old for muskies.
Sure.
So I have to do the math real quick, but it's 41 years.
Captain Joel Pytek from Fishheads Charters is joining us right now, talking about muskie fishing on Lake St. Clair. And Joel, it's look, I've done it. It's a great fishery, but man, we knew this is what's funny because when we talked to our friend Andy Provenzano, who is a meteorologist, earlier in the year, he said, "You know what?" He's like, "June, July are going to be hot. You're going to see 90 degree days." And, you know, and when you talk to meteorologists, and I'll say this because Andy's a friend, you're about half right. But man, I'm telling you what, he nailed this one. And that, when you get such a big game fish, really affects their patterns and their movement, which is almost none in hot, flat water.
Yeah, that's a very good point, right? Very untraditional weather that we've had this year that caused water temperatures to spike really high really quickly. And that affects everything from smallmouth bass to walleyes, cold water fish like those, and then also to the muskies, right? So that's something to really take account, and that's been proving challenging to get on some of those sport fish bites that we've talked about. But you know, you got to think out of the box. You got to try some different tactics up, fish the weeds when this happens, and so forth. But you know, specific to muskies, that's really really important. One thing too to make note, Duran, in the Midwest states, when you talk about places like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Ontario, and so forth, where they do a lot of shallower water lake casting, trolling for muskies, typically you won't find a guide that'll take you out when the water temperature is 80 degrees because it's so difficult to get these fish to go back after a, you know, an energy exhausting fight. So when you have those conditions, maybe we are being a little lucky here that we can fish the Canadian side because water temperatures are so warm. It makes it very, very challenging to get these fish back, especially on a troll bite and fight and reel and net and put in the live tank for anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour. It makes it very challenging for that fish to go back successfully. So twofold to that.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, which a lot of people don't realize about the muskie, about that species in general. When you're putting them in the live tank, because this is not a fish that you catch and instantly release, because they do get so big, they do get physically exhausted, and when this water temperature is so high, it really takes a toll on them. And you guys take a lot of great care to make sure that these fish are healthy to go back into the water and that their survival rate is high.
Correct. Plus and minuses of trolling, right? You know, plus is very productive, covering water, run a bunch of different baits, and I relate it to deep sea fishing in, you know, the ocean of sorts, right? Clients are able to kick back, watch the rods, have some good times, talk about things, have some snacks and so forth, good stories. Rod goes off, it's excitement, you know, and all of that. But, I mean, geez, that's an important part of all of that, right? What we talked about, the release of it. When you do get one, I have coolers full of ice on board that I'll put water in. I'll put in the live tank, which is pumping fresh water into there, because most live wells and boats won't be able to hold a 52-inch, 3-inch muskie, right? So it's very important that we go through that whole thing. I've spent as much as an hour and 15 minutes on them to try and get them to go back.
All right, Joel Pytek joining us here on Wild Michigan. We're talking more Fish Ed's Charters coming up next.
School bus driver in a traffic jam.
Whoa, 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 whoa. If I can make a living from walking in the woods, you can bet I'd be sitting pretty good high on a hill, looking at a field downwind.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here on the Michigan Talk Network. Website, wildmichiganradio.com, is where you go to pick up the links to our friends at Not Just Guns. Their Wednesday night auctions are epic. You can find what they've got online, notjustguns.com, or go see them in person, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason. A direct link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Joel Pytek, Fish Heads Sport Fishing Charters. That's Fish, H-E-A-D-Z, Sport Fishing Charters. You can check them out online. And Joel, you're holding a monster muskie in one of the pictures on the old intranet there on the interwebs. Dude, tell me about that fish. It's a pig.
Yeah, that is. We estimated about 42, 43 pounds. Oh, caught in December, actually.
Really?
So that's a great time for us to catch some really big fish as they put the feed bags on and start feeding on the availability of shad and other forage fish like that. Tremendous time. Of course, you can see I'm bundled up like I'm almost ice fishing, but that's a great time. The fall time is an excellent time to catch your heaviest fish of the year. No matter if it's a 48-incher, it's belly stuffed full of fish.
Now, before I get to the other part of what you do with the walleye, when the first time I ever went muskie fishing, I looked at the planer boards, and they looked like a dinghy being towed out behind the boat because they're so big, but they're not heavy at all.
No.
I mean, they're just monstrous. But you're pulling very large lures behind them.
That's correct. Yep. Yeah. I mean, those boards. Anything that you would generally see on any of the local muskie fishermen would be all handcrafted stuff. I've made my own with a couple of buddies who kind of pattern our own ideas of what we would like to see out of them and kind of cobbled them together, and they work really well. Light pine wood, you know, and like you said, they're designed to pull anything from a small 6-inch wooden bait or smaller than that sometimes with a 2-ounce weight to a giant bucktail with a... an 8-ounce weight or 10-ounce weight in some cases. So they're pretty unique to this area by all means. You don't see anything like that on the commercial market that works as well as we've honed that product into.
Well, you know, it's all trial and error, especially on a big body of water like that where you live and you're part of this whole thing. You know, I mean, and necessity always being the mother of invention. So
sure.
I mean, you get these, you see them, then you tweak to your own liking, and there's no mass production, not like a church tackle, you know, or a yellow bird or something like that you can put out on the water for walleye, because this type of fishing is so unique.
Very unique, very unique. There's a lot of different, just to go a little bit broader with it, there's a lot of different types of fishing that are unique to this area. You know, you talk about old school chugging in the St. Clair River, where you're just using a hand line with 25 pound test line and a 2.5 ounce corm sinker with a couple of minnows on it and bouncing it with your arm, right? That's about as primitive as it gets.
And the first time I saw that, dude, I'm like, what?
Right. It's the funniest thing. I tell you, I'm going to start doing charters for it because it's so much fun. You hand over hand that fish all the way. You don't even use a net. You go to fling it in the boat, and I'll tell you what, I don't know how many times when you go to fling it, you fling it, and it just flies over the other side of the boat into the water. All you can do is laugh about it.
You know what? I'm not saying there isn't. I just don't say that I don't think that I've ever seen a hand-lining charter. I've seen people hand-line fish, which, again, you know, there was a young girl and her dad out on the Detroit River for walleye. Which,
sure.
You know, that scares me because you're going to lose a hand when you snag onto something at some point. But
right.
I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, so you're talking about hand lining, which is wire line, right? Two different things compared to this chugging tactic. You may not have seen it. I don't know, Duran. Have you ever seen anybody just using their arm with a 25-pound monofilament in their
I'm
hand,
just
jerking their arm?
Flat out say no.
Yeah, and that's unique to the St. Clair River. But something that's really old school and very, very productive. So, you know, that's just some, even the hand lining that you mentioned, and it's also called deep trolling or wire lining, right? That's very unique to this area that I think is because people from out of state have come here, seen it, and then have adapted it to their types of areas, specifically for walleyes. That's what we use it for. But, yeah, it's just incredible, the fishery that we have. I mean, you know, we talked about the muskie fishing, right? And the downturn of the border being closed. Well, I'm filling my calendar nowadays because sturgeon fishing just opened up. We got a world-class sturgeon fishery here, and I've been fishing those since I've been 12 years old. So talk about a fish of a lifetime to go out there and catch something that could potentially push, you know, triple digits in the weight category, that's exciting. Well, I need to get you out there to go do that, my friend.
Not only in the weight category, triple digits, but in the age category as well, because those fish live a very long time, because of their lifestyle.
Correct. Yes, a very long time. And let's also point out the fact that there's conservation groups like Sturgeon Group that's local to this area here. And, the conservation efforts of building habitat, spawning reefs, that is when millions of dollars went into building spawning reefs or sturgeon throughout the St. Clair River and the Detroit River. Amazing, amazing success story. So since I've known it for as long as I have, we add that to the category of charter trips that somebody might be able to come out and experience, one of the biggest fish, largest freshwater fish that we have here in this area.
That's awesome. Captain Joel Pytech. Fish Heads, Sport Fishing Charters, that's HEADZ. When you're looking for it, I mean, just go through our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Walleye fishing, how's that been for you? I mean, because look, we know St. Clair is a great musky fishery. It's a hell of a smallmouth bass fishery. Walleye and now sturgeon, you've got it all pretty much covered over there.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Walleye is always the staple, right, for table fare. Perch fishing for us is a little bit tougher, but it's coming back. It's rebounding. You know, good, bad, or indifferent, that 25 perch limit is going to help us out a little bit. Perch on Lake St. Clair grow really slow. So you take a 6-inch perch on Lake St. Clair and it's 6 years old, and you take the same fish on Lake Erie and it's half that age. So people fall back to that whole walleye fishery that's just been exploding over the last couple of years. Go back to your meteorologist friend, I forgot his name, but, when that high temperature came and the weeds started to grow up in the lake system, walleye bites changed. We're fishing them like we're in August right now, right along the weeds, in the weeds, over top of the weeds, and that's how you're going to get bit. Makes it a lot more challenging, especially clear water conditions.
Right.
And I heard Lance mention that, right, obviously, walleyes are geared to feed at night or even in cloudy, dirty water. Walleyes and muskies, I say, make a living in dirty water, and I never hesitate one bit to fish in those types of conditions. But since we had such flat, calm weather, hot weather and so forth, we just had clear water conditions. So you really got to adapt your game to be productive when you're out there.
Well, I tell you what, man, I know it's been working for you, and I'm glad to hear. How's the rest of your year looking, For charters? I mean, how can people get a hold of you? Because we're always trying to turn them on to new things. I mean, we've had old friends, and you've been an old friend and only been on the show a few times, so we want to get more people in your area.
I appreciate that. Anybody can contact me from our website, fishheads.com, FISHHEADZ.com, or you can contact me. My phone number, text message usually, 586-243-0914. And we got a lot of availability. I actually have three boats that I operate for my business. So, and a couple of really, really great friends that I could trust with my clients and know that they'll put them on fish and have a great time. So we can usually find a spot for somebody depending on what species.
Well, you know what? And that's why we bring you guys on, because this is what you do and this is what you specialize in. And I just have the questions everybody else has. That's what has made this show so much fun. For going into our 15th year here this year, that we, have access to everybody. And, you guys are always so willing to share that information with us. Because, look, I don't put myself above anybody. I am like the last guy in the world you want to learn anything from. But then again, that's why we bring you guys on the show. Captain Joel Pytech, I appreciate you joining us, brother.
Thank you, my friend. That's outstanding, too. You've done a very successful job at your radio show. I mean, 15 years, that's pretty credible. So great job on that, too, bud.
Well, it's all about the guests, man. It's all about what you guys bring, and we appreciate it. Thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns in Mason Cedar Street at 127, notjustguns.com. Conquest Sense, makers of VS1. And Evercomb, and our friends also at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. Find all our guests on our website. Click through links at wildmichiganradio.com right here on the Michigan Talk Network.